AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I want to ask you today, do you think much about the future? What would it be like for you if you could know exactly what the future held? The old expression is so true. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And more specifically, more personally, I know who holds my future. I ran across a humorous story a number of years ago about a frog. And the frog was very forlorn about his love life. Things weren't going well. And so he wanted to know what his future held, especially as it related to his romantic life. So he goes to a fortune teller and he says, I need to know my future. And the fortune teller is looking at a crystal ball. And she said, oh, I see your future. And he said, tell me about it. She said, well, you're going to meet very soon. You're going to meet a beautiful young woman. And she is going to be so into you. She is going to want to know everything about you. And the frog got so excited. He said, wonderful. Where am I meeting this girl? Am I meeting her at a nightclub? And I'm meeting her at some social event, maybe a lily pad at the pond? And the fortune teller said, no, in biology class next semester. So that is that was the future for the little frog. He was going to be dissected by a high school student. Well, people want to know the future, and I was thinking about that today. You know, we can know the future. We can know if a life is going to turn out well or turn out poorly. It's not very difficult to see. I was thinking about in Genesis chapter 13, the story of Lot. You know, Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot went from Ur of the Chaldees with Abram and Sarah before their names were changed, Abram and Sarai. They had their names changed to Abraham and Sarah. But he went out. He was a person of faith. The New Testament tells us that, 2 Peter chapter 2, that Lot was a righteous man. But Lot was a compromising man. And when in Genesis chapter 13, when he got rich and Abraham got rich with flocks and herds, they had difficulty because the cowboys of Abram and the cowboys of Lot, they weren't getting along and they were fighting over land and grazing rights and things like that. And so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you or me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. And this is a bad witness to the pagans that we're living around. He said, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left. So Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the land of Egypt, like the land like the garden of the Lord as you go to Zoar. So he looks to the east and he sees this lush land. He says, this is like the garden of the Lord, this is like Eden, and it's also like Egypt. You know, in Genesis chapter 12, Abram's faith got weak because there was a famine in the land of promise, and so he went down to Egypt. he got out of the will of God and got in tremendous trouble there in Egypt. And Lot went with Abram when he detoured from the will of God and went down into Egypt. And Lot really liked Egypt. And Abraham got Lot out of Egypt, but he never got Egypt out of Lot. And Lot longed for Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a picture of sin. And Lot had that embedded in his heart. So when he looked out toward the east at the Valley of the Jordan, he said, well, this is like the Garden of Eden, and it's like the land of Egypt. Oh, I really liked Egypt. If I go there and I just choose to pitch my tent towards Sodom, I'd never live in Sodom because Sodom is a wicked place. Well, then I'll have my cake and eat it too. I can have a little bit of heaven on earth and enjoy with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I'll just enjoy myself riding the fence of compromise. And that's what he did. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And it says in Genesis 13:13, now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. So when we see in Genesis 13, Lot make a decision to go in a certain direction, we can know his future. And his future, if you know anything about Lot, was terrible. Lot ends up being some kind of public official in Sodom. God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah and Adma and Zeboim, those four cities of the plain, with fire and brimstone from heaven. Because as the scripture says, the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. And Lot chose to go in that direction. When you choose to go in the direction opposite of God, you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be like the prodigal son. I'm going to leave the father's house and just have a good time and spend my money the way I want to spend my money on wine, women, and song. Well, guess what? That road always leads to Sodom. That road always leads to the pigsty. That road leads to devastation. You can know what your life is going to be like. It's going to be hell on earth. And that's literally what the scripture says concerning Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, if the Lord rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Lot had hell on earth living in Sodom. His soul, because he was a believer, his righteous soul was tormented. Same word that's used for the torment of hell. He was tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Now, Sodom had been given over to abomination, and homosexuality was rampant. As you know, in Genesis 19, when the two angels came to deliver Lot and his family from Sodom and from the destruction that was coming, the men of Sodom gathered around the house, and they wanted Lot to let these two guys out so that they could have sex with them. And Lot was so polluted that he said, no, don't do that. Here are my two virgin daughters. You can ravage them. Do whatever you like to them, but don't do anything to these men in that they have come under the shelter of my roof. You know, in Genesis 13, you see where Lot is headed, and you say, that's not going to turn out well for him. I look at people's lives, and I see them going away from what the Lord has for them and not involving the Lord, just saying, I want to do what I want to do. And it's like, okay, well, you can do that if you want, but it's going to end in misery. It's going to end in destruction. You're not going to like the results of that. And it's not rocket science. You can look at anybody's life and you can figure out their future. Their future is not going to be good. Now, for a Christian, we're following the Lord. That doesn't mean that the Christian life is all honey and no bees. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There'll be difficulties, But listen, the fruit of the Spirit, which is outside of circumstances, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so no matter what is happening on the outside, in the circumstances, on the inside, for those who walk with God, they experience the presence, the peace, the love, the joy of Jesus. I saw a clip the other day from, or just this morning, as a matter of fact, from Bill O'Reilly. And he was talking about what New Yorkers can expect. What is the future going to be like for New Yorkers who voted the Muslim socialist Zohran Mamdani to be their mayor? This is what he had to say.
Just on the basic day-to-day in New York City, it took the city 14 days, 2 weeks to remove the snowstorm. 14 days. And I told you that the unions aren't going to work for this guy. And as they couldn't remove the snow or wouldn't, one of the two, and we're talking less than 2 feet here. They got 20 inches, whatever. Garbage piled up. Right? And it wasn't collected, which you knew was going to happen. So this is just occurring at lightning speed, the decline of the largest city in the country. By this time next year, I will predict, New York City will be a fiscal disaster, a catastrophe.
Yeah, no kidding. It will be. And, you know, you look at people's lives, you go and say, hey, let's try this. You know, let's try socialism. Let's give that a shot, because this isn't regular socialism. This is democratic socialism. Well, you know what the future is going to be on that. Disaster. Disaster and misery for the masses. For the, I hate to say it, but the idiots that voted for this guy. And you have, you know, Elizabeth Warren and AOC and, you know, the Democrats cheering, oh, this is going to be so great. Yeah, let's have a government grocery store. That's going to be so good. It's going to be terrible. That never works. Socialism goes against the grain of the scripture. And you have to remember this. How do we know about these things? Because God set up the world in a certain way. And it works a certain way. And if you go outside of the way that he set it up, guess what? It does not work long term for you. Can it work in the short term? Yes. Did the prodigal son have some thrills in the short term, wasting his father's money on wine, women, and song? Yes. I mean, there's pleasure in sin. Moses said no to the passing pleasures of sin. The devil is too smart to go fishing without any bait on his hook. He's got bait on his hook, and he's got things that allure us, and all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That appeals to the flesh, but it's not from the Father, and it is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. I love Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, for the Lord thy God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Hey, do you want to get in on a good future? God says, I won't withhold any good thing from you if you will walk with me, if you will walk in the light with me. You know, I was at the Opryland Hotel at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention just a week or two ago. And one of the things, if you've ever been to the Opryland Hotel, it's very easy to get lost in that hotel. That's the way it's set up. It's just, man, it's a maze. And so they have a lot of maps. It says, you are here. And you have to look at the map. Where am I? Because I'm here and I need to go to the convention center. How do I get there? Listen, it's good in life to say, okay, Lord, where am I right now? And where am I going? How do I get where I want to go? And where I want to go is I want to mature in my relationship with you. I want to be the man of God, the woman of God you want me to be. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37, verse 4, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Hey, where are you headed in life right now? That is a a great, great question to ask yourself. Am I moving toward the Lord or away from the Lord? Because if I'm moving away from the Lord, just know this is not going to end well for me. I have to move toward Him. And if I move toward Him, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be welcoming to the program my favorite former Methodist, Tim Wildman, the president of American Family Association, American Family Radio. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Iran and Israel. So that's coming up next. Don't go away.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. It is a joy and privilege of mine to welcome to Real Truth for Today, as I told you, my favorite former Methodist, Tim Wildman. Tim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeff. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Your favorite former Methodist here, reporting for duty, sir.
Okay, Tim.
And it was my choice.
It was your choice. Yes.
To be here. Yeah. You see what I did there?
Huh? Yes.
I love it. I wasn't necessarily predestined to be here. Is what I'm saying.
No, that's true. It's free will.
Free will.
Okay, so Tim, with all that's going, you're supposed to go to Israel in what, a week?
Canceled.
You had to cancel.
Yeah. I hadn't talked to you since I didn't tell you. It was canceled yesterday, and we're going to postpone till probably the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our group was scheduled to go out from New York on Tuesday, and you go, Jeff, you go often to Israel. Uh-huh. So most of the time you meet in New York and are somewhere in the U.S. to depart.
Not in Tupelo.
No, we don't have a... You know, we're trying to get that flight from Tupelo to Tel Aviv worked out, but it's, right now it's just not. It's the city leaders that are balking at it.
Yes,
they don't want 747s flying over Tupelo. But anyway, no, we were supposed to meet in New York and then go to Tel Aviv, as you do, with your group. Uh-huh. And so the airport's closed over there, and also our airline we were using, which is El Al. That's the Israeli airline. They're going to be using their planes to repatriate their citizens from, that are stranded around the world trying to get back into their country. So anyway, we postponed our trip until further notice, probably in the fall sometime. Now, when are you going back, or do you know yet?
Well, we had set a trip for March of 2027. I was thinking about you as soon as I heard about Operation Epic Fury because I knew you were leaving. And this is the second time this has happened right before.
Oh, listen, my wife, Allison, she handles all the bookwork for these tours. And talks to all the people and, does it all as far as I just show up for the tour, basically. I'm a prima donna, anyway. She is just about to pull her hair out again. Well, I think she's given up because we had COVID hit. Remember that?
Right.
COVID hit 3 days before we were supposed to leave. Okay, so all the people had to be contacted. Everything had to be rebooked. Everything had to be rescheduled. And at that time, we didn't know when You know, right. when and the whole world was shut down. Remember that? We all remember that terrible experience.
Right.
Then we were scheduled to go March of 2025, I guess it was. And then, let's see, what happened then? No, anyway, one of those, Hamas
right.
attacked Israel, slaughtered all those people, you know, that caused a delay in our tour then. So this is the third time in like 5 years this has happened. Now, before that, we went like 25 years with only like one or two incidents happening. So anyway, but you know, we thought about rescheduling for Puerto Vallarta and... what do you think, Jeff? Have you heard anything from there? That seems like a peaceful place to go.
And... Yeah, they've been having trouble there, haven't they?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is you can go anywhere in the world and you're not guaranteed anything anymore. But the whole Middle East has been shut down now for the last few days. Now, I did hear that Pete Hegseth, our Secretary of War, said that the United States and Israel should have the airspace under total control in Iran, what, in 48 hours, I think he said, which will be remarkable, which will reopen the airports and return people's lives back to normal for most parts of the world.
Yes. Tim, you know, people have strong opinions about the Operation Epic Fury or storming Roaring Lion, as Netanyahu likes to call it. It seems like it's been a great thing. I mean, I hate it that people are getting killed,
right.
but we didn't start what they're doing in Iran. Khomeini did.
Right.
And you know, you can't keep killing people without there being a day of reckoning.
Yeah. You talking about the Iranians killing people through their proxies too, like the Houthis,
Houthis.
And the blowfish, you got them. And I shouldn't say that. That was tacky. I apologize. You got but you got those terrorists. You got the Hamas. You got Hezbollah. You got these proxies that Iran has been funding, that's going to be cut off now. And you've also got just the Iranian threat. This is not like anything else in the world. This isn't even like dealing with the communist Chinese, who are at least logical.
Right.
They're wicked in the way that they treat their people, but at least they're methodical and they're reasonable and you can negotiate with them, okay?
Right.
Same thing with other dictators and people around the world. But with this group here in Iran, they are religious nuts, okay?
Right.
They are, the mullahs, they operate under and you understand this more than I do, Jeff, they operate under a... They want a caliphate that is control. They want to kill Jews and Christians, and that's why America is called the Great Satan, and Israel's the Little Satan. And they just thirst to dominate the world, and they got to take out the Jews and the Christians. And they said this in their. I mean, they get up. That's what they get up saying every morning. You know, after breakfast. It's time to kill some Jews and Christians, you know.
Right.
So you got it when you're operating under that kind of those kind of people, and they say we want to kill you, and then you understand that, especially Israel, because Israel's like in the same neighborhood. Okay.
Right.
We got a whole ocean away, and Israel's in the same neighborhood, 1,500 miles, I think, 1,200 miles, something like that, between Israel and Iran. Then and they say when we and you know they're about to get a nuclear weapon,
yeah.
Okay,
they'll definitely use it.
Okay, what you're going to do? You're not going to do anything. You're just going to say, well, let's go pass a UN resolution. You know that's not going to get anywhere because most of the world hates. You know they're not going to vote with Israel or the U.S. on something like this, but. So Israel and I think Donald Trump, our president, was stuck with the decision. Okay, do we act now? Do we act now, or do we wait for something terrible, terrible to happen? And then people go, "You mean to tell me you knew they were about to get a nuclear weapon and you didn't do anything?"
Yeah, you know what that reminds me of, Tim. You'll like this reference. So I've used this in sermons before, in the movie Jaws. when little Timmy gets eaten on Memorial Day weekend or whatever it was, the grandmother or the mother said, you knew that the shark was out there and you didn't do anything. She slaps Chief Brody in the face. You know, that's true for pastors. That's true for presidents. It's like your job is to protect the people.
Right, and that's right.
And if you don't do it, you're derelict and you're worse than Tim Walz.
Yeah. I see what you did there, too. But when you sign up to be the leader of the country like President Trump did and Benjamin Netanyahu, you know you're going to have to make tough decisions like this. Listen, President Trump tried everything negotiating with these people. Did you hear Wyckoff? Is that the gentleman's name? The chief negotiator for us with the Iranians last week.
Oh.
The gentleman's name escapes me. I think it's Wyckoff. Anyway, yeah. we played a clip from him yesterday, and he was saying they were basically he was saying of the Iranians in the negotiating room, hey, they were just bragging about how much uranium they had enriched and how they were almost ready to get a nuclear weapon. I mean, they were kind of in our face on the whole thing. So I don't think the Iranians thought that the Israelis or the Americans would attack. That's the only thing I can figure out, because they gathered all in one place, all their leaders, and that's when Israel and Donald Trump said go.
Yeah. Well, Tim, obviously a lot of people hate Donald Trump, but one thing about Donald Trump is he tells you what he's going to do, and then he does it.
Yeah. He already did that, 6 months ago with Iran?
Yeah.
I mean, so they were fools to think that he wouldn't act. And you know what? He is not one to send our troops and go to war.
No,
and we all agree with this. He runs his mouth too much sometimes.
Yes.
Okay, but that's just the New Yorker in him, I guess. But he. What I'm saying is, I don't think that he understood the political risk here that he was taking. But he knew the seriousness of the moment, and do we let every president back, as far as I can think, Jeff, has said we can't let Iran get a nuclear weapon. Have they not? Democrats and Republicans alike.
Yeah.
So we're here in this moment, and they're almost ready to get nuclear weapons, and so he felt the need that this is that we have to act. We have a military for a reason, and that's to protect the American people and our interest and our people overseas too, and our friends and neighbors. And I don't too, as on a related note, I don't know what the Americans, some of our fellow Christians have against Israel.
Right. Hey,
can you figure this one out?
You know, I think what some people don't like this, but Calvinism has really taken hold in the seminaries and in the churches, so many churches. And most Calvinists, not all, John MacArthur was strong for
Israel,
dispensationalism, and God has a plan for Israel. But if you don't see that God has a plan for Israel because you're amillennial in your eschatology, which means there is no millennial kingdom, Jesus doesn't come to rule and reign from Jerusalem, so then Israel's not very important. But the way I look at it—
Do you think that's the motivation for—
Well, I think that sets the
within
stage—
Within the church, you mean?
Yes, I think that sets the stage for people to say, "Well, why are we all hot to trot about Israel? They're no, they rejected Christ. We're the people of God, so there's no plan for them." And from where I come from, in terms of my eschatology, I would say God has a plan for Israel. Romans chapter 11 says He's not done with Israel, and after the rapture of the church, God is going to focus again on Israel, and they're going to be the touchstone to share the gospel around the world.
But wouldn't you also say that just from you look at the way Israel's carried out this particular mission, and the way that they operate, it's just, they're in a different league,
Yes.
I'm talking about their intelligence, their military, and I'm talking about their intelligence both like from a CIA perspective and just the IQ of their people.
Right.
But I guess when you live in a defensive posture all the time and your survival depends on it depends on these things I've just mentioned. You're going to be at the top of your game. You have to be, or you're going to be dead.
Right, and okay? And the Lord is obviously protecting them.
That's what I mean. How do you explain that outside of God's hand? And,
right.
And I know that Israel is basically a secular country.
Right.
I know that. And they do have some religious Jews. They have some Messianic Jews as well. But you know, I was looking, I told Ed yesterday, Ed Battagliano, I said, you know, what if the Bible was written 500 years from now, looking back? I'm just saying, would it be another case of the Israelites are again rejecting God, or they're building another high place, and he's calling them to repentance? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's
calling them to, so we may be living in a moment in history. We don't know how much longer, you know,
right,
until the Lord comes back, until he establishes his new kingdom on earth. But the relation, but I, you just, to me, you're in denial if you don't look at the way Israel has been protected.
Right.
They've taken a few hits, yeah, but they shouldn't. They're surrounded by enemies, or have been surrounded by enemies. They should not be around anymore.
No.
Okay. And yet here they are, and
right,
here the Jewish are, people are thousands of years after all these other people mentioned in the Bible are gone.
Right.
With the possible exception of the Egyptians, you know,
right,
I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But you understand, it's just, I don't know how you look at that and go, well, that's not God's hand on history.
Yeah, it obviously is. And, you know, God has a plan for them. And that's why, you know, he says, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. And so praise God that President Trump is, you know, a good ally to Israel. And as you know, Tim, the Israelis love President Trump.
Right. Yeah, they do. And also the other thing is, keep in mind, we've had peace in the region with the Arab countries for the most part now for what, 10, 20 years?
Uh-huh.
Or longer. So I think President Trump deserves credit for that.
Uh-huh.
The Abraham Accords, and also Israel's reached out. What we want in the Middle East is we want people who worship money. Okay, we don't want them worshiping Allah, where they want to kill everybody, and like the Saudis, they love money now, right? The sheiks and all they like that lifestyle, I should say.
Yes.
So,
well, you're exactly right. So I don't know if you saw this this clip. I know we're almost running out of time, but this was from Pope Leo. I am following with deep concern what is happening in the Middle East and in Iran during this tumultuous time. Stability and peace are not achieved through mutual threats nor through the use of weapons which sow destruction, suffering, and death, but only through reasonable, sincere, and responsible dialogue. You know, Tim, if we just sat down with a cup of coffee and said, hey guys, let's come to an agreement, then all would be hunky-dory.
Yeah, you know what he's not recognizing right there in that speech? I didn't hear it all. The Pope is, he's not recognizing the existence of evil in the world.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you negotiate with Hitler? For how long do you do that?
Yeah.
That's what,
and,
go ahead.
And it's exactly what you said. Islam, radical Islam says, well, here's my negotiation. You die.
Right. You convert or you die.
Yeah.
That's been the history.
Yeah, that for sure.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, Tim, I appreciate it.
Okay.
You're listening to Real Truth. We'll be back after the break. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and I always appreciate it when Tim Wildman comes on for a segment. Tim is one of the funniest guys I know, and just does a great job leading American Family Association, American Family Radio. He's become a dear, dear friend. Well, I wanted to remind you that Activate Summit 2026 is coming July 16th through the 18th at the Cadence Bank Conference Center, which is a beautiful conference center there in downtown Tupelo, Mississippi. And Debbie and I will be there. Dr. Jessica Peck will be there along with some other great speakers. We're going to have a great time. And so, you can find out more by going to afa.net afa.net/summit. afa.net/summit. The cost is $175 for main sessions. That's for ages 13 and up. $75 for Activate Kids ages 6 through 12, and then free for anyone 5 and under. And there are going to be lots of vendors there. The theme is Roots to Fruit, Grounded in Truth, Growing in Grace. And Jessica, we're going to hopefully have her on the program in a few days. She's going to be talking about how to navigate with your family AI, and how to protect your kids from that potential pitfall. You know, so many things in technology, it's like, yeah, it's good, but you have to be careful with it. And so she's going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about marriage and family and how you can have a great marriage and family in a day and age where there are so many things against marriage and family and so many temptations out there. And so I do have to be very forthright. I'm glad that I had my kids and raised my girls before this day and age where technology is just so rampant, and phones and things. We didn't have any of that. And so it was a lot easier. The temptations, although they were plentiful, they were less than they are today. So we're going to be sharing that. Well, we always like to go to the phone lines. In this last segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. And I see that we have our good friend Lee from Virginia on the line. Lee, welcome to the program today.
Hey, bless you, Pastor Jeff. I got a comment I'd like to make. You was talking about you can tell somebody's future by what they're doing now. You know, New York City was bombed twice by Muslims before 9/11. And they turned around and put a Muslim in charge of New York City. The first abortion ever held in the United States was held in New York City. And they voted about 2 or 3 years ago to kill a baby after it was born and stood up and clapped and applauded. Mm-hmm. And every year I watch in New York City, they have this 9/11 meeting, and they say never again. But yet they turn right around and vote the people that hates them the most. Now, I'm just a little common country preacher. I appreciate what you do. I don't know how you do everything you do, but I don't do much. I preach to churches of 12 to 14 people. But yeah. God told me the first thing when I started preaching, which I didn't start preaching until I was 55. He called me when I was 30. But the first thing God ever told me was to tell people to get out of the cities. Because if you look in the Bible, everywhere, Old Testament, New Testament, when judgment hits a nation, it hits in the cities first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, Lee. Debbie and I have talked about that a lot because I was in Houston before I came to Texarkana in 2003. And it was a major adjustment to go from a big, thriving city like Houston, Texas to Texarkana, Texas. And it took a while to get acclimated. But once we got acclimated, we have both said many, many times, we're so glad we're in a smaller town. A smaller town is less crazy than a bigger city. And not that Texarkana or any small town is immune from the pressures of the world and how the devil wants to squeeze everybody into the world's mold, but it does take longer to get to those outlying areas. And so it tends to be a much safer, more normal place to raise a family. But lots of people live in the cities, obviously, and you just have to be that much more vigilant when it comes to your marriage, to your family, to your loved ones, and to what is going on. You got to keep abreast of that. So God bless you, Lee. You always encourage my heart. So I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for calling in today. Well, we have Betty on the line from Mississippi. Betty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all you do for your program, and I listen to it most daily.
Well, thank you.
My comment today is about the gas prices. We went to check on gas last night, and it had gone up from $2.21 Friday night, Saturday afternoon when we got gas in Meridian. It had gone to $2.99 in some places. This is price gouging. And in Mississippi, if you have hurricanes and the stations run their prices up because supply and demand, they are reprimanded. I don't understand why our government is allowing, or the states are allowing this now.
Yeah, good point. I don't know on that, Betty. I have to do some research on that. You know, obviously, with Iran being attacked and in the war that's going on, or the military conflict that's going on, that's going to disrupt things. Prices will no doubt go up, but I think it's going to be short term. I don't think it's going to be long term. And so, you know, there, as Tim said just a minute ago, there are always trade-offs. And so what I appreciate about Donald Trump is he doesn't lick his finger and see which way the wind is blowing when he makes decisions. He does what he thinks is right for the American people and for America's best interests, and then he's going to act upon that. And sometimes those things that are good in the long run are difficult in the short run. And so I think that's what we're experiencing now. We're going to experience and continue to experience difficulties in the short run to help us experience blessings in the long run. And so we just got to kind of ride out the storm, Betty. But I agree. If people are price gouging, that is pitiful. And they need to cut that stuff out. I don't know how much that's price gouging versus just their, you know, the futures on this is like, okay, well, these prices are going up, so I have to cover my costs there. We'll wait and see. But I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you listening to the program. Well, we have Robin on the line from Virginia. Robin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Shreve. It's been a little while since I've called in, but I wanted to first of all say I'm so thankful for AFR, besides being thankful for the Lord and for all that he does for all of us every day. Because just last night, and I did appreciate your comments at the end there with Mr. Tim Wildman. He is and has a gift to turn even the worst and the hardest of news with a sense of humor, right? Like, hey, do you agree with me? No, you're going to get your head chopped off. I heard one of the things last night through the news spot that I had not heard on mainstream media. And that's why I'm so thankful for AFR, because what they were playing, like when Steve Jordahl comes on at the end of today's issues, they were playing audio clips from places, not just in Iran, but around the world, celebrating, shouting, being so thankful. And Pastor Shreve, it gave me chills. I'm giving me chills right now repeating it, because you know, if this is actually not starting something, I know it's controversial. No one wants killing and violence. Right. But if it's putting an end to something, I just was so thankful that AFR will play all the news that's going on around the world, not just what the mainstream media wants to influence other people by telling them certain things and twisting it. And it's like propaganda. So thank you for having Tim on today, and it's a wonderful, when you laughed and laughed just now, I just turned it on in the last 20 minutes. You know, it does our hearts good to know that in the midst of what seems awful, if this is coming for a better end, right, that the violence and the evil will, you need to put a stop to it at some point. So thank you for letting me say what I said, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate that. Well, I think, you know, we get so short-sighted. It's like, okay, you got to take the long look at life. And so here's how I view things, especially with Donald Trump being the president, got elected in 2024. You know, he has this term. That's all he's got. If you look at America like a patient that goes into the hospital and you diagnose the patient, and the patient is sick with this disease, that disease, and the other disease. Let's just pick cancer. You got cancer. You got stage four cancer. We're going to have to do radical surgery on you. Otherwise, you're going to die. And so when you look at it that way, We know that the radical surgery is going to hurt. The chemotherapy is going to make me sick. And so we have so many people that are just people on the left and even rhinos on the right. They're like, oh, he said he was going to make things better, but things aren't better. I went to the cancer doctor and he said he was going to make me better, but I'm getting worse. Well, yeah, you often do get worse before you get better. But if you do nothing, you die. And so President Trump is taking an America that's on its deathbed and trying to revive it, and to, if you have to amputate the gangrene that's in your hand or your leg, better to go through life, as Jesus said, you know, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better to go without a hand than to go into hell with both your limbs. And so you have to look at it that way and just know that, you know, just in life, the things that matter don't come easy. The promised land was not a vacant piece of property. You had to fight battles there. And what did the faithless spies say? Oh, there are giants in the land. We can't go take that land. Why did God lead us here? Our little ones are going to be murdered and killed, and this is horrible. We need to go back to Egypt. No, you stand up and you fight and you trust God and you trust the promises of God, and you know it's not going to be easy. The Lord never said it was going to be easy. The song that always comes to my mind, it kind of dates me, but is, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. God never said this was going to be easy. Yea, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world loved you, then that's a problem. Because, you know, if you were of the world, then the world would love you. But because you're not of the world, I've called you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And we are twice-born men living in a world of once-born men, and we are here for one main purpose, and that's to be his witnesses, to speak the truth in love, to call people, to warn people to flee from the wrath that is to come, and point them to Jesus. And that's our only business on this earth. And is it going to be easy? No. But is it going to be worth it? Yes. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. So I appreciate it, Robin. God bless you. We have Norman on the line from Mississippi. Norman, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hey, Brother Jeff.
Hey.
Yeah, I was thinking about what God said about us acknowledging him in all things. And I would feel much better about this particular war if the leaders of the country had gone before God and asked for direction. Because God said, if you acknowledge me and all that you do, I will direct your path, even if you don't understand the path. So I would feel much better about this if because we're supposed to be a God-fearing nation. And if you're going to represent us, then you need to acknowledge who God is and that we depend on him and not on our weapon.
Yes. It's a good point, Norman. I'm not so sure that wasn't done. That might not have been reported, but I know that Pete Hegseth, he makes no bones about the fact that we need the Lord, and he calls on the name of the Lord. I saw them praying, a picture of people praying before the State of the Union address, and I've seen them pray, Scott Turner pray before cabinet meetings, and so I think that there's a lot more prayer that's taking place that might not get reported. And so we need to pray, obviously, for wisdom for President Trump. We need to pray that his eyes would be open to biblical truth, that he'd understand what grace is all about, what the gospel is all about, and really come to that place of brokenness and repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. I don't think that's ever happened for him. I want that to happen for him. But he's got a good sense of what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what is evil. And I think he's leading our country in a good direction. So we need to keep praying for him. Well, Walter, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for calling in. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org. That's Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.